I only got to use my hammer for something. Okay, I'd like to call the August meeting of the Montville Inland Wetlands Commission to order. We have Commissioner Occhialini, Commissioner LeClaire, Commissioner Rashto is on the phone, and Commissioner Brush present. First order of business is approval of the minutes of the July 17th, 2025 regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, Commissioner LeClaire.
Approved.
Commissioner Rashto.
Approved.
Commissioner Occhialini.
Approved.
I approve. The motion is carried unanimously. No public hearing, no show cause hearing. Any remarks from the public on items not relating to the agenda? Any remarks public on items not relating to the agenda? Any remarks from public on items not relating to the agenda? All right. Okay, Noble Hill Road, parcel ID 06102-00, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels. Update on ongoing enforcement action. Cease and correct order on permitted activities within the wetland and a 10-foot upland area.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. The staff report that is in your packet is revised. As I mistakenly had added, I mixed up the two staff reports between this one and the actual after-the-fact permit. I have spoke with Attorney McCoy because I mistakenly put the reimbursable fees on the after-the-fact permit. I spoke with Attorney McCoy, and he stated that his client would be willing to pay those reimbursable fees. He understood the confusion between both applications. So with that being said, an updated summary of events are as follows. At the last meeting of July 17, 2025, Attorney William McCoy presented to the commission that he had submitted an after-the-fact application for consideration. Attorney McCoy indicated that he would make a full presentation at the next meeting of August 21, 2025. At the May 15, 2025 meeting, staff discussed the reimbursement to the town of Moffett for fees expended for the services of the town soil scientist and professional engineer. According to the Inland Wetland and Watercourse Regulations, Section 20.6, Summary of Ordinance Number 2007-002, a copy of which is attached and highlighted, refers to additional expenses which are charged to an applicant. Currently, a total of $3,025 has been expended as part of this violation. The invoices are as follows. Invoice one is for $1,525. Invoice two is for $750. Invoice three is for $600. And invoice four is for $150. Additional invoices may continue to accrue depending on future inspections that may be required for this violation. Accordingly, the reimbursement of same is something that this commission will need to vote on. All invoices received pertaining to the review of application 25IWC14, the after-the-fact permit, will be kept separate from this violation. And staff would recommend that the commission continue this matter to the next regularly scheduled meeting on September 18th. And there are two motions attached to your packets. The first motion would be a motion to continue, and the second motion would be for the reimbursement of fees.
All right, and we're getting the application presentation tonight?
Yes, they are all here for that, correct.
Okay.
However, I would suggest that we continue to hold this on our agenda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, then again, a motion to continue.
Okay, I make a motion to continue this matter to the next regular scheduled meeting on September 18th, 2025, and or until such time as a remediation plan has been agreed to by the commission, this commission.
Any discussion? Commissioner Aquilini made a motion. Commissioner LeClaire seconded it. Do a roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Approved.
Mr. Rashto?
Approved.
Mr. Aquilini?
Approved.
And I approve, so motion carries unanimously. The second, you want to make a motion to for the applicant to reimburse the town fees accrued to date?
Okay, make a motion for the applicant to reimburse the town of Montville fees accrued to date in amount of $3,025.
I second it.
Any discussion? Roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Approved.
Mr. Rashto?
Approved.
Mr. Aquilini?
Approved.
And I approve. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, so 25 IWC 14, Noble Hill Road. Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels, an after-the-fact permit for excavation and removal of earth products in regular areas and a remediation plan.
So again, Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. I had given a brief explanation at our last meeting, and this application was referred for comment to the town soil scientists on July 10th and on July 29th. Comments were received back on July 29th, a copy of which are attached to your packet. The only comment that remained the time of me preparing this staff report was pertaining to the bond estimate being received and reviewed and approved by the town soil scientists. That was in fact received by me. I forwarded it to Bob Russo. He has provided me with the following comments. Quote, Stacy, I have reviewed the attached bond estimate and find that it is in proper form and will cover the stabilization of the site encompassed by the wetland violation restoration. An additional bond may be required for any action taken by the PZC. Bob. End quote. With the latest information, staff recommends the IWC approve this application for an after-the-fact permit for proposed activity, and I have language for a motion for approval if the commission so chooses to do so. Attorney Bill McCoy is here on behalf of the applicant to speak.
Have we seen a presentation of what the actual permit is? It seems like last month we didn't really see it.
Attorney McCoy is on his way to the podium.
For the record, Attorney William McCoy representing the applicant. My business address is 736 Norwich and Runyon Turnpike, Uncasville, Connecticut. With me tonight are Mark Reynolds, who's the engineer on this matter, as well as Jim Cipperly, who is the soil scientist. I would suggest that the best way to approach this is that Mr. Cipperly has a report to provide to you for your record, and he can explain his work, followed by Mr. Reynolds, who will go through the plan to show you what the proposed activity is relative to this permit. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. For the record, my name is James Cipperly. I'm a soil scientist and a Connecticut wetland scientist. I also feel compelled to tell you I'm an environmental planner for the city of Middletown. I'm also the wetland agent for the town of Portland, and I sit on my wetland commission in my hometown of Basra. Originally, I sent you a letter on June 6, 2025, outlining existing conditions and also a proposed mitigation plan that you have been looking at and reviewing throughout the enforcement action process. After that, I wrote a letter. Actually, it was May 13th when I did the original letter. When I did a subsequent report on June 6th, it was because the commission asked me to go out and look at a couple additional areas And there was an error in my report, and I'm going to submit this to you. I highlighted it in red. The word "not" is very important in the fourth paragraph. So basically, I'll tell you what I originally wrote. My paragraph states, "I also investigated and tested an area of concern that was a small excavated area closer to the entrance to the overall site. There were subsoil physical characteristics that would indicate the presence of an inland wetland soil," but I forgot the word "not." It was a typo. "But there was no indication of presence of inland wetland soils in that area." And that was the area that Stacy and Bob asked me to look at. So this is the letter that is corrected. The one that I just distributed to you is dated August 19th. And I guess one or two commission members had some concerns about the area where you come in. And that was the area that I just referenced in my report. But I went back out to look at it more carefully, and what happened was the soil was so rocky and stony, I couldn't even get my auger through. So I asked Mr. Phillips to come up with a small excavator that he had to investigate, you know, what it was like. And we excavated about 3 feet, three test pits, about 3 feet. I have photos here. But I am pleased to report that there were no inland wetland soils anywhere near that area. Those test pits are still open. They're 3 feet. There's no water in them. If commission members or Bob or staff wants to go out and look at them, I'm sure you can make an arrangement with Mr. Phillips to go out there. But I assure you, there's no wetlands at all. It was a very rocky, stony soil. And the classification of that soil is a Charlton Chatfield complex. And it goes right along with the USDA soil types that are listed for that area. So
the question I have is not is there a wetland there, but is there a water course there?
Oh, no.
The aerial photos showed a pond, like looked like a pond there. That's what brought up the question. It looked like a pond, which would be a water course, not necessarily a wetland.
Yeah, no. No, I agree with you, but no, there was no water course there. There was a little pit, but when I was there, there was never water in it, and it was well-drained just like the other pit that exists there now because of the nature of the soils.
Okay, because the question was never, I'm going to ask the question. The question was never, is it a wetland soil? Was there a water course there? Like say, it looked like a pond.
Yeah, no. The
okay.
Answer is no.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Again, as I indicated, Attorney William McCoy again, Mr. Reynolds is here to do a brief overview of the site for you and to answer any questions you may have.
Mark Reynolds, for the record, I'm a professional engineer. My team and I prepared the survey of the existing condition.
Is this on?
Yeah. And also the proposed grading plan. And so, this is the survey that outlines the area of activity, and we went through this maybe a few meetings back. I came in and showed this to the group. The heavy dashed outline is sort of the limit of the excavated area, and in addition to that, there's the area right around the culvert and the area around the tent structure where there was a boat stored, which is right here. We also located all of Mr. Sipperly's flags that he put out. There's some flags up here in this corner, and then there's flags along that way. And we located, I think since the time I was last here, we located additional flags that Mr. Sipley put out in this area to verify the location of the wetlands on both sides of the culvert. So the grading plan for the site essentially, and I've included in the map some cross sections, like one at the center and one on either end, to illustrate what's going on. So the idea is to basically take material from this area here and to basically smooth the banks down and create a 2-to-1 or flatter slope, because right now there's some pretty steep slopes. All of the area is graded and sloped to the center as it sits right now, and so that's the plan, is to maintain that. So there's essentially zero potential for erosion to move out of this area. If there's erosion, it's all going to be towards the center. So in between the time now and when it's fully stabilized, any movement of sediment would be towards the center of this long cigar-shaped excavation. And the cross sections for that are shown here. We've done some calculations to make sure that the amount of material that is coming from here can make those slopes work. That's how we came up with the plan. And you can see the red lines are the limit of the upland review area. So you can see the majority of that is outside of the upland review area. And we also tried to stay outside of the upland review area for the area that material needs to be borrowed to grab and put over against the slopes, because we didn't want to cut this slope further back, because that would be moving it towards the wood line and would create potential for more tree fall and things like that. So rather than cutting back the bank to make it flatter, we're grabbing material over here and putting it against the bank to make it flatter. So in addition to that, activities that are part of this permit are an after-the-fact installation of the 15-inch culvert that's here, and then the work that was recommended by staff that I think has mostly been completed right around the tent area. There was some placement of wood chips and things like that. Those were all under the advisement of staff. I don't think there's anything left to do in that area that hasn't been done. Is the tent been removed, Jeff? All right, the tent structure has not been removed, but would be removed. I think the wood chips was a stopgap type measure at the time that they did the site inspection. So that's it in a nutshell. There are some details, standard erosion and sediment control type details, and all of the reports of Mr. Sipperly, aside from the one that we're talking about tonight, are on the last sheet, so they're included in the plan as part of what could be approved. And if you have any questions about it, happy to answer them.
I'll just ask one more for the record than anything else, and Mr. Sipley may have to answer this one. We don't expect this to turn into any kind of an intermittent water course because it's so well drained, correct?
That's my assessment of it. Jim, do you concur?
I'm sorry, you're talking a little too
soft. Sorry.
The question is do we agree, or can we agree, that this won't become a wetland?
Or it won't become an intermittent water course because there's it's so well drained. It'll just flow during whatever.
And there's no contributing water watershed that would do that. The main watershed from over in this area runs parallel in this way.
Right. Like I said, I just want that more for the record than
correct.
That it's okay. Not you're not creating a water course.
Yes.
It's just
we're agreed.
Stabilizing, yeah. Okay.
If approved, all the work would happen this end of summer, early fall?
I think the work would start as soon as the permit was in place. I'd say, well, during the dry times, the time to do it. Well, this site is very well drained. I think it doesn't really matter, honestly. It could be done any time. But we're coming on to the seeding window, so it's a good time now to get it graded and get ready for that time.
Shut the radar.
Hello.
These were received last month, right?
It was received, yes, July meeting. It was received, yes. And again, in light of receipt of the ENS control bond estimate and Bob Russo's last comments, I do have a motion to approve if the commission would like it. It's not part of your packet, so I would be happy to hand it to you if it is something that you want to do.
Well, is the bond estimate approved?
Yes, it is.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I think the sooner they get the grass seed in the ground, the better.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Mr. Grass, that was going to be my comment, that we're working with the window of opportunity to get the seeding done as soon as possible. If this is approved, we're prepared to move forward on it.
You want to read it?
I'll read it.
Do you want to look at it first or not?
No, I'll listen.
Okay, after giving due consideration to all relevant facts and including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Montville Inland Wetlands Regulations and Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application 25IWC14, Noble Hill Road, parcel 061-002-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicants Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels, for an after the fact permit for excavation and removal of earth products within a regulated area, and the remediation plan per the application and associated documents dated July 8th, 2025, in the plan titled Topographic Survey with Wetlands Prepared for Jeffrey Phillips, Assessor's Number 61-002, Noble Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut, dated May 12, 2025, revised June 25, 2025. Standard reasons of approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Any discussion? All right, we'll call a vote. Commissioner LeClair?
Approved.
Mr. Rochdo?
Approved.
Mr. Occhialini?
Approved.
I approve. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Use it again.
Thank you.
Okay, 25 IMC 15, 47 Sharp Hill Road. Uncasville, applicant Mount Kineo Builders LLC, owner Arnon Holdings, for 23 lot re-subdivision with regulated activity.
Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. Let me see here. All of the above technical review comments of August 5th, 2025 have been addressed by the applicant and revised plans have been provided in your packet. Final comments have been received from the town soil scientist on August 20th, 2025, indicating that all of his comments of August 5th have been addressed with the exception of, quote, plans, narrative, list, other possible permits, state, local, federal, that may be needed. This is part of the 2024 CTD ENS manual checklist. If no other permits are needed for the project, it should be stated on the project plans. This comment can be added as a condition of approval. The application is for regulated activities within the upland review area in conjunction with the development of a 23-lot re-subdivision in the R20 zoning district. The property is located on approximately 19.5 acres of frontage on Sharp Hill Road to the south and Carroll Drive to the west. With the exception of riprap drainage basin at the end of Carroll Drive, the property is currently undeveloped. The applicant is proposing 23 building lots, an open space lot on the northwest side of the parcel, and a lot for stormwater management on the northeast side of the parcel. The applicant is proposing the construction of a road, associated roadway drainage and stormwater management improvements, common utilities, including sanitary sewer, electric, telephone, cable, etc., as well as 23 single-family residents and driveways. The wetlands were delineated by Ian Cole, certified soil scientist, in September of 2024, located by Boundaries LLC in January of 2025, and are shown on a plan submitted with this application and entitled Resubdivision Plan 23 Lot Resubdivision, Residential Resubdivision, 47 Sharp Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut, 06382, prepared for MT Kino Builders LLC, dated July 10, 2025, revised August 15, 2025. The two areas of wetlands which were located and delineated on the property are shown on page 5 of the wetlands report prepared by Ian Cole and dated September 12, 2024. And that's in your packet. Wetlands Area 1 is located in the area which the applicant is proposing as open space. No activities are proposed in this area. Wetlands Area Number 2 is located in an area which the applicant is proposing as a lot for stormwater management. The applicant is proposing work within the 50-foot upland review area for the construction of stormwater basin B, as in boy. No other work within the wetlands or upland review area is proposed. There are 5 photos of the property included in the wetlands report by Ian Cole on pages 10 through 12. Myself and assistant planner Meredith Badaluca visited the site on August 5th, and I've included a copy of that inspection report for your review. Attorney Sweeney is here on behalf of the applicant to present the application to you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record tonight, my name is Bill Sweeney. I am a partner and a land use attorney with the law firm of Tobin Carberry in New London. I want to thank you for having me here tonight. I appear before you on behalf of my client, Mount Kineo Builders LLC, which has submitted an inland wetlands application associated with its 23-lot resubdivision of land located at 47 Sharp Hill Road. Mount Kineo Builders is a successful home builder and developer of quality housing here in southeastern Connecticut. Also joining me tonight, I have Seamus Moran. Seamus is a professional engineer, and he's the engineer of record on this project. My intent tonight is to be very brief. I'm going to provide you some background on the resubdivision, and then I'm going to have Mr. Moran walk you through the actual plans and details of the project. At the end of our presentation, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding the proposal. As your staff indicated, this resubdivision involves a 19.47-acre parcel of land, which is located in Montville's R20 zoning district. The parcel was created as part of a subdivision approved by the town back in 2016, and as I understand it, this land was formerly part of a tree farm, but it's now been taken over by successional forest. My client is proposing a cluster subdivision on the parcel, which requires the dedication of at least 15% of the site as open space and allows for a minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet per building lot. The 23 building lots are going to include both frontage and interior configurations, and they're going to be accessed off of a new cul-de-sac road from Sharp Hill Road, which Mr. Moran will show you. Each lot is going to be served by sanitary sewer and private wells. As your staff indicated, wetlands were delineated on the subject land, and because the land is being subdivided, there is an obligation to come before this commission. These wetlands consist of 2 very tiny hillside seeps or springs, located in the far northwestern corner, which is wetland number 1, and then the far eastern edge of the property, which is wetland 2. Both of these small seeps drain off-site of the property and into intermittent waterways. In total, the wetland area on site on this 19.47-acre property is less than 7/100ths of an acre. Most importantly, though, the proposal, as you're going to show you tonight, has absolutely no direct impacts on either of these wetland areas in any shape or form. The northwestern seep, as your staff indicated, will be located deep within our designated open space. There's no activity within the upland review area for that wetland. And then the eastern seep is going to be on the stormwater lot that's being proposed. It will be adjacent to some new stormwater structures that Mr. Moran will talk about. Those drainage structures accept drainage from the new road, and there is disturbance of just over 2,600 square feet of upland review area. But again, no direct impacts whatsoever to wetland number two. Our project wetland scientist, Mr. Cole, has opined in his letter that there will be no detrimental impacts to either wetland as a result of this re-subdivision development. I want to state for the record, and I think your staff also indicated, that the project plans have been reviewed in detail by your staff, by your consulting engineer, by your soil scientist, and to date, all outstanding comments have been addressed. At this point, I would ask Mr. Moran to come forward. He's going to walk you through the actual engineered plan set for the re-subdivision, and then I'll come up with a few concluding remarks.
Thank you. I'm going to steal this. I'm a hand talker. Good evening, Commission. My name is Seamus Moran, PE in Connecticut. I work for H&H Engineering Associates. Thank you for your time tonight. So what I'll do is I'll just walk through the plans. Blueprint of my presentation, we'll go over existing conditions first. So I'll go into the subdivision improvements plan, layout plan, grading and drainage, utilities, soil erosion, sediment control. And then I'll pass it back to Bill. So if you're looking for anything in particular, that's kind of where you'll find it. I think I'll just move on to the demo plan, which as you can see on the existing conditions plan, and Bill pointed out, the northern side is actually the left side of the page. Eastern is the top part of the page, western is at the bottom, and obviously southern is the right side of the page. So as we are explaining this, the sheets are now a zoomed in version of that. That northern half of the site will be undeveloped, so it will remain as is, will be open space. So this is a much a blown up scale of the southern half of the development that we're looking to improve. This is just the demolition plan. It shows essentially the clearing limits for a full build-out condition, which we'll get into in a moment. We're not actually building out right now all of the homes. What's being built out now is the stormwater management system, the drainage structures, the roadway, public utilities, and obviously the roadway itself. The subdivision improvements plan. This is the site layout plan that Boundaries had prepared. This just shows the 23 residential building lots, starting, they're all numbered, of course, starting with one at the main entrance. They wrap around the cul-de-sac, and ends at 23 in this location here. The open space is to the north, and that will remain, as of course, is open space, with a small stormwater management basin, which we'll get into in a moment. The other stormwater management basin system is in this section here, closely abutting, or in the same area as the wetland. Well, you see that there's almost no impact even within the 50-foot upland review area. So this here is actually the improvements plan. As you can see, there's about a 1,000-foot cul-de-sac we're proposing to serve all of the 23 residential units. That obviously meets all of the subdivision regulations in terms of radius and width. The 23 lots that you see show a conceptual home, conceptual driveway, conceptual grading, all for each of those lots, and those are, like I said, conceptual right now. Each of those homes, individual lots, will have to come back for a site plan application for staff to review before they build it. They're not looking to put exactly this rectangular home in exactly that location, but we did show them with the driveways, showing that they can be built in this location, and you'll see on the grading plan that they can be built according to this plan. The stormwater management system, you can see, is going to be outlined here, which we'll get into in a moment, and also another basin in the back corner here. So the stormwater management system is probably where I'll spend most of my time just explaining. As you can see, like I mentioned here, there's actually three stormwater management practices that we're proposing. The first is a small infiltration trench along the most southern edge of the property. That's just for a small section of the drainage area, the existing drainage area that's getting to our property, that we are electing to disconnect. So one of the big things in the 2024 stormwater quality manual is disconnected impervious areas. So if you can disconnect some areas and manage flows separately in different areas, that's what they're looking to do. So what we tried to do is take a section of this, of the development, and get it into an infiltration trench. So that infiltration trench at its lowest point is 12 inches tall, at its highest point is 5.5 feet tall. Obviously, the water is going to spill out at the low point, so we evaluated it as a 1 foot tall infiltration trench. And that infiltration trench is designed to infiltrate the water quality storm event, so the 1.3 inch storm event, which is where all the pollutants in the stormwater are. So it infiltrates the 1.3 inch storm event, and beyond that it meters flows, so as the water comes into it, if it's already full, it'll continue on its path over the top of the infiltration trench. The second practice is this larger basin area, and it's almost, I'll get into it, it's a cascading basin system, and that's because of the topography on the property is challenging. It's about elevation 430 at the high point along the western edge, down to, I believe it's 326 at the wetland limit. So there's some topography as you go from high on the west side to low on the east side. That's why you can see there's a lot of contours on here, because when you have to carve out areas for homes and roadways, it ends up being quite a bit of grading. But because of the topography, we couldn't just put one large flat basin in there. So we had to create, cut out 2 feet, fill 2 feet, and then go down to a lower section to cut out 2 feet, to fill 2 feet. So the way this is designed is the stormwater management area, which I'll get into in a moment. I printed out the drainage maps to hopefully help visualize it. For most of the roadway and a lot of these homes goes into the catch basin system within the street. The catch basins within the proposed street all have 2 foot sumps. The last catch basin has a 4 foot sump, and that's just for sediment. That last catch basin also has an outlet hood for floatables. And that last catch basin discharges to this upper basin, which is a small basin, is essentially a water quality basin that's designed to manage almost the 1.3 inch storm event. It's just under the 1.3 inch storm event. Beyond the 1.3 inch storm event, the outlet control structure here discharges the flows into the second basin through the 10 year storm event. Between the 10 and through the 100 year storm event, it goes over the spillway. The second basin that you see here infiltrates stormwater runoff through the almost the 1 year storm event, not the 1 inch storm event. It's 2.83 inches of runoff for the 1 year storm event. So it infiltrates for nearly the 1 year storm event, and the outlet control structure, which is shown here, which I'll show it on the next page. The outlet control structure here manages flows through the 100-year storm event with 7 inches of freeboard between the water surface elevation at the 100-year and the top of the berm for the second berm. The third basin, as it continues to spill into the next basin, this manages all of the flows contributing from into the first basin, the discharge from basin one into two, and then the discharge from basin two into three. So it manages that last flows plus whatever's contributing on top of it. Through the 1 year storm event, so it'll infiltrate the 1 year storm event in that basin, and then the outlet control structure, it meters flows through the outlet control structure through the 100 year storm event with 12 inches of freeboard between the water surface elevation at the 100 year and the top of the berm. So, and that was a lot. I guess what I'm trying to explain is each of these basins is designed essentially. The first one is for the water quality event. The second one is well in excess of the water quality event. The third one, again, is another 1 year storm event. So there's treatment at each of the basins, and each of those manages peak rates at certain levels to demonstrate that we're not increasing the peak rates off the site to the wetlands. So the peak rates, I guess that's the buzzword I should probably get to, as we're not increasing flows to the wetland or offsite to this location here.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I figured that might happen.
You're saying a 100-year event and a 1 year event.
Yep.
The 1 year event will go to the first basin?
No, they all go through. So
Yeah, they all go through the initial water quality. Which one is going to overtop?
So they all will overtop. So the first one overtops at the one-inch storm event. So that will start going. So the flows from this basin will start into this basin, into the second basin, at the one. It's like 1.2-inch storm event. It's just under the 1.3-inch storm event. From here, this basin infiltrates everything through the one-year storm event. So there won't be any discharge into the third basin until the one-year storm event. The third basin doesn't discharge, I'm sorry, for almost the one-year storm event, the third basin doesn't discharge into the wetland until after the one-year storm event.
All right. So it's, when does it wind up in the wetland, at the 100-year storm event?
It will end up in a basin. It won't end up in the basin under the one-year storm event. It will end up in the basin beyond the one-year storm event. But the way it's managed is the flows that are leaving the basin at the two-year storm event are no greater than the flows that are getting to the wetland without any of the development. So the flows right now, for example, I'd have to pull up the report, but say at the two-year storm event, it's 10 CFS potentially, just for easy numbers. If it's 10 CFS getting to this wetland now, we are less than or equal to 10 CFS at the two-year storm event. At the 10-year storm event, if it's 20 CFS, we are less than or equal to 20 CFS at the at the 10-year storm event. Same with the 25 and same with the 100. So whatever it is getting to it now, we are less than that at that storm event with the proposed condition.
All right, okay.
May I ask the difference? So you're talking pints, I'm going to ask gallons now. In terms of a storm, like it's a 2 inches of rainfalls, 3 inches of rainfalls, what's happening?
Yeah, so for the way NOAA breaks it up is the one-year storm event is 2.83 inches. It's actually specific to every area, so I'll just tell you what those numbers are. So for this site, the one-year storm event is 2.9 inches of rainfall over a 24-hour period. The 2 year is 3.45 inches. The 10 is 5.12. The 25 is 6.13. And the 100-year is 7.76 inches of rainfall over a 24-hour period. So, for example, if we have almost 3 inches of rainfall over over a 24-hour period, there won't be any discharge to the wetland. There won't be any discharge from any of the outlet structures. It'll be infiltrated into the groundwater. It'll still get to the wetland, but through the groundwater. That's through the one-year storm event, which is the 2.9-inch storm event.
It's not uncommon to have that amount of rainfall now, as we all know.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty normal storm.
They try and make it so it's that's the highest storm you're going to find in a year. That's kind of how it breaks down. What the 1 year means. Doesn't usually work out like that, but anyway, so that's exactly what it is. So 2.9 inches won't have any discharge from the outlet control structure. Beyond that, there will be discharge, but that discharge is less than or equal to what's getting to it right now. I knew that was going to take a little bit of time. I'll just move on to the utilities quickly. Actually, I'll just mention there's a second basin. And this is just for some of the homes on the back side of the property and a section of the cul-de-sac. So that is getting to this stormwater basin. Same thing, I won't have to explain it all, but the one through the 100-year storm event is all managed so that way the peak rates to this property line are not increasing from what's currently there.
So in the upland review area, there's a bunch of work going on. I mean, it's not a very big upland review area, but there's work going on in the upland review area.
Yeah, so on this plan, you can see the green is the wetland. The magenta is the review area. So there's about 2,600 square feet of clearing and grading within the review area. It's 0.06 acres.
Yeah.
And the other wetlands, the larger of the two wetlands, is on the northern portion of the property. We're not doing anything up there. Quickly, I'll touch on the utilities. I will not. I will talk about what I mentioned. This is the drainage area map, color-coded to help us when we're designing it. But you can see there's a small drainage area here that's getting to this infiltration trench. There's this larger drainage area here that's getting to our basin system. And then there's another smaller drainage area here that's getting to that other basin. So I don't, hopefully it helps visualize, but there's, you know, a larger watershed area getting to this basin, which is why there's three of them, a smaller area getting to this basin, and then the infiltration trench is a much smaller watershed area. This is just the utility plan. We are proposing an extension of the sanitary sewer main onto the property, up the center line of the roadway. There's also electric, and private wells are proposed on each of the homes. Conceptual wells are proposed on each of the lots. Of course, they'd have to be part of the site plan when those come before it. But public sewer, electric, drainage structures, and then private wells. And then lastly, soil erosion sediment control, which what you can see on this plan is what we ended up doing on this plan is demonstrating only what's necessary to construct the roadway. The roadway, the drainage improvements, the drainage structures, just so we could show what they're actually going to do right now to build the road. So that's why there's, you know, the clearing limits, the limits of disturbance are shown on here along with the grading that ties into the existing contours. What we added after comments from Mr. Russo is a temporary sediment trap for this section of the drainage area that's getting to our property, for a large section that's getting to it. And that temporary sediment trap is sized according to the 2024 SCSC guidelines, just to provide enough storage, wet storage and dry storage, for the contributing area. We also have a construction.
And you have permission from the owner of that other that you showed growing across? Is that what's the dashed line there that says temporary sediment trap? Is that just the area?
Yeah, so this is the temporary sediment trap that's outside of the storm. This is only temporary.
Okay, I get it. All
yeah.
right.
So they can create this basin,
right,
to allow stormwater to get into while they're building the stormwater basin.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
And that will eventually be filled in after,
right,
before they start construction. Construction entrance is shown, temporary soil stockpile areas are shown, erosion control matting on slopes steeper than 3-to-1 or 3-to-1 or steeper, and then just silt sacks in each of the catch basins are shown. With that, I can pass it back to Bill unless you guys have any other questions.
What's that little tail that hangs down below the cul-de-sac?
This?
Yeah.
This is just to reroute some of this stormwater coming from off-site. We're just rerouting that stormwater, just essentially building an artificial berm just to keep that stormwater into the grass to create a swale, so that way disconnecting some of this area from up top from getting into our stormwater management system. So this is all vegetated over here. It's all grassed. So we're just trying to keep that stormwater coming from off the site and wrap it around the basin, keep it within the vegetated swale, and just allow it to continue to sheet flow overland as it goes around.
Is that permanent, so the houses that are proposed will have to have a big hill in the back here, and they'll maintain that?
It's only about a foot and a half.
Okay.
It's just a very slight berm that we're creating just to divert the water. And the homes are downgrading of that, and you'll see on the plan that we've already incorporated that into the grading plan for it. So this berm, you can see it, but there's a lot of grading that is associated with that lot to be constructed. So it is shown on here, and then the homes are downgrading of that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the slope of that by the cul-de-sacs? Because it looks like it's like 30 or 40, am I reading this right? 30 or 40 feet high?
The slope of where, I'm sorry?
I can't read the numbers. Right? Well, after construction, the
Utilities one. You want to open up the utilities sheet? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Same spot. How high is that slope?
This is actually a cut. We're cutting this. The cut slope it's 420 at the top, and it's 398 at the bottom.
And what's the slope?
It's 3-to-1, that's true.
Okay. Right.
Should I bring Bill back up, or do you guys have anything now? Or we'll just have Bill finish it up?
I think we're okay right now. Yeah.
Bill, come on up.
I'll still be here, so if you have any questions after.
Thanks, Seamus. Just to remind the commission again, we've gone through an exhaustive review with your staff, with your consulting engineer who has reviewed the drainage design and approved it. We also worked very closely with your soil scientist and have addressed all known comments at this time. I would just close tonight to remind you that this application was received by the commission last month. It has sat for the 15-day period, and therefore the resubdivision application before you is ready for consideration this evening if you choose to do so and take up the issue. From our perspective, there's a very small amount of wetlands on this property, and the activity that's proposed within the upland review area of the easternmost wetland is de minimis. It certainly doesn't come close to anything even resembling a significant activity, and I would argue tonight that it's so insignificant, I would ask the commission to dispense with the necessity of a possible site walk and to possibly move tonight for action on the application. We hope that you find the application to be in order. We would ask for a favorable vote this evening. And again, myself and Mr. Moran are available if you have any other additional questions, but we want to thank you for your time and attention and always the amazing staff you have here in Montville that we love to work with. Thank you.
So do you want to set a walk? I mean, from the standpoint of zoning, it's a pretty significant thing. We ain't zoning. It's just that area around the... Do you want to set a walk?
I don't know. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
I used to walk big at Christmas trees all the time.
Oh.
Growing up.
Postpone it till Christmas while I grab a tree.
None left.
May I ask... in these photos that are provided, what are we looking at?
The photos that are part of my staff report?
Yep.
Okay. So on the second page of the inspection where the town car is, that was showing, the first picture is more so showing right off of Sharp Hill when you first pull into the site, and looking down Sharp Hill. That was more taken for the Planning and Zoning Commission for a sight line. The second picture is taken from across the street. You can see there's pretty significant vegetation to the site. So therefore, I would urge you to look at the next two photos. These were taken as we myself and Assistant Planner Meredith Badaluca did walk into the site itself. There is pretty thick, extensive vegetation there with barbed wire. We didn't go very far into the site due to the fact that we couldn't see the barbed wire so well. So I would suggest that you keep that in mind with any site walk. I'm not sure how much you actually will be able to get into the site to see with the extent of overgrowth that's there.
So are these on the second page just the other side of the tree line looking inward, or is this towards where that wetland in question is?
Nope, this was literally right in front of where our town vehicle was parked. We walked straight in to the piece of property, and that is what we could see when we got beyond. There is a gate there. We walked beyond that gate, and that's as far as we could actually see into the property. So pretty much what you're looking at, I would say, would be the beginning of the road itself. You're not looking at either area of the wetland.
If I could add, I'm not sure if you have it in the file, but the original wetland report for me and Cole includes photographs as well, and they do have photographs of the two wetland areas.
Yes.
You'll see they're both forested, extremely rocky and stony. They don't look like wetlands per se, but you can see sort of the groundwater seeping out of the hillside in those areas, and literally, they're literally on the property line, both of those areas. So I don't know if you have a copy of those pictures.
We do, and it's page 10 through 12.
But I think if the issue is I want to know what these areas look like, there are photos in the record that show them.
Ah, here we go.
That might give you a little bit of level of comfort. They're not what you would consider to be prototypical forested wetlands with large sort of basins or inundated areas. And as I said, wetland number one, which will be in the open space, is hundreds of feet from any kind of activity. It's only wetland two that has any work within the upland review, and even that is fairly limited.
Does it have year-round flow, do you know?
I'm sorry, can you say that
does
again?
Does the spring have year-round flow?
It is. You have a soil scientist here who might want to. Based on what I know, it's there's one that has some dampness during the summer, but I don't think it's significant flow, but I don't know if your wetland scientist may want to comment.
If the commission would like, as
absolutely,
staff, I could
please
comment to Bob Russo, CLA engineers, town staff on this project. I've been out to the site as well. They do not have year-round flow. At most, one of them maintains saturation to the surface, so they're seasonal in nature. There is, in the springtime, there will be flow. Right now, there's not going to be any flow there. And in this kind of drought conditions, I doubt that even the wetter one has saturation to the surface. In a normal non-drought condition, saturation to the surface during the summer would be the condition, but not flow.
Thanks.
I think that's also consistent with Mr. Cole's report as well, saying that these drain both into intermittent waterways.
I was doing a walk out there. I'll say it doesn't seem to be anything. This looks like, from a wetland standpoint, I would say it's not very critical. So, if you guys are okay with that, then motion to approve.
Shall I? Okay, it's my turn. All right. Okay.
After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Motlin Inland Wetland Regulations and Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application 25IWC15-47 Sharp Hill Road, parcel ID 02306300000, Uncasville, Connecticut, owner RNN Holding Company LLC, applicant Mount Kineo Builders LLC, for regulated activities within the upland review areas associated with a 23-lot resubdivision per the application and associated documents dated July 10th, 2025, and plan titled Resubdivision Plans 23-Lot Residential Resubdivision 47 Sharp Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut 06382, prepared for Mount Kineo Builders LLC, dated July 10, 2025, revised August 15, 2025, with the following condition: plans, narrative, lists other possible permits, state, local, federal, that may be needed. This is part of the 2024 CTDEEP ENS manual checklist. If no other permits are needed for the project, it should be stated on the project plans. Standard reasons of approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Approved.
Commissioner Rashto?
Approved.
Commissioner Aquilini?
Approve.
I approve. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Yep. Okay. Glen Road, Monksville, owner applicant Ibadath Chowdhury, for construction of a single family residence within regulated areas.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. This application is for regulated activities for wetlands and upland review area in conjunction with the proposed construction of a single-family residence located in the R20 zoning district. The property is located on 11.5 acres and is currently undeveloped. The applicant proposes to construct a five-bedroom single-family residence with a sunroom, two porches, and attached garage, along with the installation of a 1,500-gallon concrete septic tank with two D boxes and leach fields, a well, and the construction of a retaining wall, a walkway, and a driveway. There will also be a few drainage features installed, including a curtain drain constructed of 6-inch PVC attached to it, a riprap inlet with a 12-inch HDPE pipe, which leads to a riprap drainage outlet and a footing drain. All of this work would be conducted outside of the 50-foot upland review area. The applicant proposes some development located within the 50-foot upland review area, and which would include the riprap outlet for a slope drain and part of the driveway. This would account for 6,500 square feet of disturbance. The applicant also proposes the construction of a driveway that would cause 4,200 square feet of disturbance within the regulated wetland area. This construction would include the installation of a modified riprap inlet on the side of the driveway and a round 12-inch concrete pipe going under the driveway feeding to a riprap outlet. This would help to redirect stormwater away from the driveway. The applicant proposes the use of an excavator for grading and for the installation of the driveway and septic system. Large trucks and a drill rig will also be needed to transport fill and install the well. All soils removed during the grading process will be stockpiled on site outside of the 50-foot upland review area. The wetlands were delineated by Robert Russo, certified soil scientist, on January of 2025 and are shown on a plan submitted with this application and entitled Site Plan Prepared for Ibadath. Is it Ibadath? Chowdhury, Glen Road, Montville, Connecticut, 06382, dated May 30th, 2025, revised August 14th, 2025. The application was referred to Ian Cole, certified soil scientist, on behalf of the town for review on July 16th, and comments were received on August 14th, a copy which are attached to the staff report. The comments stated in part that a double row of ENS control measures be installed around the 50-foot upland review area. The applicant has revised the plans to reflect this recommendation. Mr. Cole also mentioned that the wetland flags have degraded, and he suggests that the wetland boundaries be reflagged to be certain it's visible to contractors and inspectors during the construction process. These comments were forwarded to the applicant. Staff. Staff recommends that the Inland Wetlands Commission receive and review this application, possibly set a date for a site walk, and continue this to the next regularly scheduled meeting of September 18th, or approve the application with the conditions set forth by the town soil scientists. So I've included three motions for the commission's consideration. Bob Russo is here on behalf of the applicant to present the application to you.
Good evening, my name is Bob Russo. I'm soil scientist with CLA Engineers. To be clear, on this application, I am representing the applicant, not the town. And as your staff just mentioned, Ian Cole was retained by the town to review this application as the town soil scientist. Although the commission did receive this application at the last meeting, I would like to go over it and just refresh it in your minds, discuss the wetland impacts and why those impacts are necessary in order to site a house on this lot, and then hopefully answer any questions the commission might have. I'd like to start out on sheet one of the plan set, which is an overall survey plan and shows the lot itself, which is somewhat over 11 acres, Just to orient you, on this particular sheet, north is generally up at the top of the page, west is to the left, east is to the right. The southern edge of the site is bounded by Connecticut Route 2A. Just off this sheet that you're seeing, sheet one, to the west is I-395. As I have, you have all probably driven by here many times and seen this large piece of wetland as you're going on 2A and about to head on 395 north. And it looks like an extensive wetland, which it is. The site is on Glen Road, which is on the eastern side of this map. And if you look at the locus map in the upper right-hand corner, you can see that this is off of the very end of Glen Road at a dead end. Having delineated the wetlands on the site, if you look to the right, to the eastern side of this lot, you can see where Glen Road terminates and where the proposed driveway comes through, closely hugging the lot line to come up to the proposed house location. It is hugging the lot line there because that's the orientation for the driveway that would result in the least amount of wetland fill in order to build a house on this lot. So the area that I'm indicating now in the southern two-thirds of this lot is all wetland. This upper corner, this northeast corner of the lot is where there is buildable upland. There's enough upland for a house, the septic system, and the reserve. And as a result, there needs to be some wetland impact. The approximate area of wetland impact is 4,200 square feet. The impact itself is to route the driveway to get to the upland as quickly as possible, crossing a minimal amount of wetland. As your staff mentioned, there's a culvert, a 12-inch reinforced concrete pipe that's just put in as an equalizer pipe. There's going to be wetland on either side of that driveway, and the idea is to let the water elevation return to normal here. Yes?
As much as I dislike losing wetlands, my question about that is, can an ambulance or a fire truck or a moving truck get around that corner? Or should it be, I mean, I don't know, should
no,
it be
good.
A little further out and connect with a little turnaround?
No, that's a good question. Access is actually possible through here. There's enough room to come through. Good question, but we did make sure that other vehicles could get through there.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to indicate that your soil scientist, Ian Cole, requested additional erosion and sedimentation control be added, and I'm just going to flip to the next page here and indicate to the commission that we did comply with that request, and on sheet two, have doubled up on the silt fence barrier, and I'm going to go all along the southerly part of the disturbance and say that that is now doubled up as the town soil scientist requested. In addition, refreshing the wetland flags we think is an excellent idea, and we'd be happy to do that as well, just to go out and rehang flags before any construction starts, should the commission at some point approve the plan. That concludes the remarks that I would like to make, and I'd be happy to answer questions from the commission.
What's the characteristic of the wetland?
It's a forested wetland. As you come to the edge of Glen Road, there has been some disturbance. This is kind of an open area right here where the wetland begins. If you look right at, I'm indicating the curve right now. I just want to point out to the commission that the area that I'm drawing a circle around in the very lower part of the right angle proposed in the driveway is actually upland. And on either side. So we're actually crossing an upland island at that point. But on either side of that, it's forested wetland. That's part of a red maple swamp. It's medium-sized red maple trees, skunk cabbage, spice bush, things like that. Pretty typical red maple swamp.
How far out into the wetland will you have to go to do the construction of the road or the driveway?
The limits are shown here on the plan, and you can see there's the double row of silt fence runs right along, and the limits of tree line. So it is depicted on plan sheet 2. And that plan is at 1 inch equals 20 feet. So you can see that there's going to be another 10 feet or so outside of the driveway that's going to need to be cleared and disturbed.
Is the power line coming up the driveway?
It will come up the driveway, yes.
Do you want to set a walk?
Yeah, this one could be helpful. See it, do you think?
Huh?
I think it could be helpful to see.
So our next meeting is the 18th, so.
What is that day of the week?
Huh?
What day of the week is
Let's
that?
Let's say Saturday the 13th.
Oh. Weekends are a little
You want to do it during it? I mean, it's still.
Yeah.
Try and do it like Tuesday night, the 9th or something.
Tuesdays I have obligations. I'm sorry.
How about you propose?
Like a Wednesday?
Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah, that works.
It's a good time. Okay, with you?
5, 6. 5:30, I don't care.
5:30 or 6?
Okay, how about 5:30?
Sure.
Hey, can I get a motion to set a sidewalk at the end of Glen Road on September 17th at 5:30?
So moved.
A second.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, Mr. LeClaire?
Yes.
Mr. Rashto?
Approved.
Mr. Rocklini?
Approved.
I approve, so motion carries.
Thank you very much. We will also stake out the center line of the driveway so that you can see exactly where it goes.
Is our wetland guy here? You want to say anything?
I'm sorry?
Is our wetland person here? Does he want to say anything?
He's not here.
All right.
All of his conditions were met other than that one condition.
The double.
Well, the double silt fence was met The only thing was the reflagging of the wetlands, which Bob has indicated that they will agree to do without a problem. So.
Okay. All right, then moving along. 25 IWC 17, 158 Fitch Hill Road, Uncasville, the estate of Helen Z. Romano and Eric O. and Tiffany G. Walls, owner estate Helen G. Romano, for a review and report to the P&Z Commission for a proposed three-lot subdivision with no regulated activity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Garrity from Garrity Manano in New London. I represent the applicants here. What we're seeking tonight is essentially a referral from you to Planning and Zoning Commission that there is no regulated activity. I think the staff reports indicate clearly that this is an existing subdivision that somehow was created and a house built on one of the lots that was created all illegally, and we are trying to correct that problem. There is approximately 0.2 acres of wetland for the Walls lot. That is the parcel that you see right here. There's nothing on that site presently, nor is anything intended. We do show, because in order to make it a lot, we need to show that we can demonstrate a location of a house that meets the zoning requirements and also a septic, so that's shown on the map, but there's no proposed activity that we're seeking any sort of approval for on that. So there's no activity on the parcel that has the wetlands in the existing house where the wetlands encroach into that parcel. As I said, it exists already, and there's no proposed construction or improvements to that part of the island beyond what already exists. Mr. Rowe did a wetlands analysis that should be in your paperwork.
So there's one really large lot, and it with no house on it?
Correct. And that's actually what triggered all this. When we went to the client, the estate went to sell it, and they came in and looked at it, hey, wait a minute, after talking with staff, that this subdivision was never approved. The only person who knows what happened is dead. So we're here trying to remedy a situation that's existed for some time, but again, going through the steps in order to make sure we do it correctly this time.
Staff, anything to say?
There are no regulated upland, no activities in the upland or wetland areas for this. All applicable town departments will be providing comments to the Planning and Zoning Commission with regards to the subdivision application, which the commission will receive at the August 26th meeting. And staff recommends a favorable recommendation to them. There is a motion attached to your staff report.
All right. You good? After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Connecticut General Statutes Section 8-26, applications involving inland wetland or water course, Montville Subdivision Regulation Section 3.4.2, Wetlands Agency Referral, in Connecticut General Statutes Chapter 440, Section 22A-28 to 22A-45D, Wetlands and Water Courses. I move that the Commission forward a favorable recommendation report to the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission for application number 25 IWC 17, submitted by owner applicants, estate of Helen Z. Romano and Eric O. and Tiffany G. Walls, for a three-lot subdivision of 158 Fitch Hill Road, parcel ID 055037000, Uncasville, Connecticut, as more fully described in the application and supporting documents dated July 25th, 2025, in a plan entitled Romano Subdivision, property of Helen Z. Romano Estate and Eric O. and Tiffany Walls, for property located at 136, 154, and 158 Fitch Hill Road, Town of Montville, County of New London, Connecticut, dated May 14th, 2025, revised July 1st, 2025.
Discussion? All right, call the vote. Commissioner LeClaire? Commissioner Rashto?
Approved.
Commissioner Occhialini?
Approved.
I approve. Motion carries unanimously.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, so 71 Moxley Road, Uncasville, Walter Wainwright Jr. for a 2-lot subdivision with no regular activity.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. This site consists of approximately 14.35 acres located in the light industrial zoning district with about 510 feet of frontage on Moxley Road. The site contains approximately 2.14 acres of wetlands and is currently developed with an existing sawmill building and cellular communication tower. There are no activities proposed on either lot, and the applicant is seeking a favorable recommendation from this commission to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a 2-lot subdivision with no regulated activities. Wetlands were delineated by Joseph Throw, certified soil scientist, on May 22, 2025. The wetland report states that wetland flags number 1 through 31 were used to delineate the boundary of a large forested wetland watercourse found in the western portion of the property. The wetland report also indicates that there was another forested wetland found to the northeast of the cell tower site. The property to be subdivided is shown on a plan entitled Subdivision Plan prepared for Walter N. Wainwright Jr., number 71 Moxley Road, Montville, Connecticut, dated May 2nd, 2025. All applicable town departments will be providing comments to the Planning and Zoning Commission regarding this subdivision application, which the commission will receive at their August 26, 2025 meeting. And we do have Rick from Advanced Surveys here on behalf of the applicant. If there are any questions, again, there's no regulated activity with this application either. So staff recommends a favorable recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
The only question I have, it looks like when the cell tower was put in, they put a, I don't know what it is, one of the guy lines or something in the wetland?
No idea. There's a guy line with a chain link fence around it.
Yeah.
The western part of the cell tower. Yeah, it looks like it touched the wetlands. For the record, my name is Richard Deschamps from Advanced Surveys. I prepared a plan. The whole site's been this way for quite some time. The sawmill's been there, the cell tower's been there. The sole purpose of this plan is to just, the cell tower company would prefer to own the property and no longer lease it. Hence, divide it up, let them own it, and go from there. There's nothing else proposed whatsoever. No improvements, no.
Are you putting another road in?
No road.
Need a motion. You guys are tired of reading, aren't you?
Do you want to read? Go ahead, Doug.
These are just long. I'll say after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Connecticut General Statutes, Section 8-26, for applications involving an inland wetland or watercourse, the Montville Subdivision Regulations, Section 3.4.2, Western Agency Referral, and CGS Chapter 440, sections 22A-28 to 22A-45D, wetlands and watercourses. I move that the commission for a favorable recommendation report to the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission for application number 25WC18, submitted by owner applicant Walter Rainwhite Jr. for a two-lot subdivision of 71 Moxley Road, parcel ID 017-012-000, Unksville, Connecticut, as more fully described in the application and supporting documents dated July 29th, 2025, and the plan entitled Resubdivision Plan prepared for Walter N. Wainwright Jr., number 71 Mockley Road, Montville, Connecticut, dated May 23rd, 2025.
A second.
Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Brush made the motion and Commissioner LeClaire seconded it. Roll call vote. Commissioner LeClaire?
Approved.
Commissioner Rosto?
Approved.
Commissioner Roccolini?
Approved.
And I approve. Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay, 25WC19, 179 Gallivan Lane, owner applicant Fluid Line Products LLC for modification to a previously approved site development plan to include a proposed new industrial building with regulated activity. And this is, I didn't realize they sold it. Okay.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. This application is for regulated activities in conjunction with the development of a proposed new industrial building in an area that is presently utilized as a paved outdoor storage area. The proposed building will be utilized as rented space, which will potentially contain multiple startup businesses. The site consists of approximately 10.16 acres located in the light industrial zoning district with about 239 feet of frontage onto Gallivan Lane. The site contains approximately 4 acres of wetlands and is currently developed with a 48,000 square foot industrial building with a lawn area and impervious areas such as driveways and parking lots. The applicant proposes to develop the existing paved area to the east of the parcel with a 19,840 square foot warehouse building with required parking. As part of the proposed development, the applicant proposes to include a temporary sedimentation basin in accordance with the 2024 Connecticut guidelines of soil erosion and sedimentation control, which ultimately will become a permanent water quality basin in accordance with Connecticut 2024 Stormwater Quality Manual. The inland wetlands boundaries were delineated by Robert Russo, certified soil scientist, in November of 2024. The wetland report indicates that Stony Brook Stream runs through the wetlands along the northern and western parts of the site, and there is a 500-year floodplain as determined by FEMA, also associated with the stream. The wetlands report also indicates that the proposed disturbance would be limited to 9,000 square feet of upland review area for the removal of an existing chain link fence and pavement and the construction of the water quality basins. Bob Russo from CLA is here on behalf of the applicant to present the application.
Good evening. My name is Bob Russo, certified.
Hey, hold on, quick. You're saying the proposed building be used as rental space with multiple startup businesses. Then you say it's a warehouse. Which one is it?
It's going to be an open warehouse that they're going to divide into individual rental units for startup businesses.
So it's not going to be storage. It's going to be a multiple. Maybe you can have multiple warehouses.
Sure. For the record, Bob Russo, multiple warehouse spaces.
Okay. All right.
Again, for the record, Bob Russo, soil scientist with CLA Engineers. Ellen Bartlett, the project engineer for this, is unable to be here tonight. She does certainly plan on attending the next meeting to answer any questions you might have about the project. I would like to start out by just showing you the existing conditions plan for the site and discussing what is there right now. And I'm referring to sheet one of the plan set, which shows the existing buildings, wetlands, and property boundaries. And I'm just gonna outline the property boundaries here. You can see in the upper left side of this plan, there's a curve here. This is the ramp that goes from Route 395 over to Route 2A if you're headed northbound. This business you may be familiar with, it's Divine Hydraulics. It's located on Gallivan Lane and has an existing building here that I'm calling out that's on the left-hand side of the lot, on the western side of the lot. North is up on this sheet again. You can see that the existing building has paved parking around it. There's a paved driveway coming down. And over here in an area to the right, as your staff indicated, there's a paved area that's used for storage. There's some trailers out there, some boats, some cars, other things that are just parked out there. The entire area that I'm outlining now that you see in the light gray tone is labeled existing paved parking. That's the area where the proposed building is going to go. And I'd just like to outline the edge of the wetland here. You can see the wetland is all shown in a light blue, and it comes close to the lower edge of the existing paved area where the proposed building will go. And as well, it's fairly close to the existing building out here. Now I'm referring to sheet 8, which shows you the proposed industrial building on the site. In this light brown tone is the proposed 19,840 square foot warehouse building. It shows the proposed parking. It shows grading behind the building on the slope that comes down near the neighbor's property line. And then on the downslope side, closer to the wetland, is where the stormwater treatment is going to be. I'd just like to mention at this point that there's no direct wetland impact proposed. Nothing is going to happen directly in the wetland here. The activity that's proposed in the upland review zone, I'm indicating here, which is stormwater treatment, and it does involve getting rid of some of the existing pavement on the site. In fact, the total impervious area is going to be reduced by about 8,800 square feet on the site because some of the existing paved area is going to be converted to stormwater treatment. The building itself will also cover an area that is currently paved, as will the proposed parking. This will also result in the boat that's sitting out there, the trailers, the other cars being removed off of the site. The basins that you see, the stormwater basins, are sized to be consistent with the Connecticut DEP 2024 Stormwater Manual. During construction, this area will be used to catch stormwater runoff. As well, there's erosion and sedimentation control that's going to ring the site to prevent, during construction, any of the sediments getting into the wetland. That's a brief overview of the site. I know the commission may want to ask additional questions, may want to schedule a walk, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that come up.
Is trying to figure out what this brown thing is. Is there like a swale on
certainly
the berm?
Right, if I can just see what you're referring to.
Right here is like 160, 160. On
oh,
side.
Yes.
Is that just the
so
drainage?
So Commissioner Brush is referring to what will be behind the building, upslope for the building. There's a bench in the slope there. When we have a steep slope that rises more than a certain elevation, the Connecticut DEP manual says that you need to put a flat spot in that slope to slow the flow of water. So, and I'm indicating it on the plan right now, and there's a call out that says install 6-foot wide reverse bench. And that the purpose of that is to limit the possibility for erosion. That is a fairly steep slope that's going to be graded in there. This means that when the runoff starts to come down that slope, it hits a flat spot and slows the flow of the water to limit the chances of erosion.
We want to do a walk?
You can go after the other one.
They're close together.
Yeah, that would work.
What's the rating on Stony Brook?
Stony Brook, you'll see in the wetland assessment letter, Stony Brook is a high quality stream. We looked at some of DEP's data, and downstream in Stony Brook, there's native brook trout in there, which indicates that it's high water quality. So that is definitely in consideration here.
We go to Glen Road at 5:30. You want to do this one? Call this one 6 o'clock, and we'll just come right after.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Okay, can I get a motion to set a site walk at, find the address here, 179 Gallivan Lane at 6 o'clock on September 17th, 2025?
Second. Well, make a motion or whatever we got to do.
I'll make a motion that we set a sidewalk.
Thank you.
At 6 o'clock at 179 Gallivan. Second. Okay. Any discussion? Mr. Brush made a motion. Commissioner Tocchini seconded it. Roll call vote. Mr. LeClaire. Mr. Rashto.
Approved.
Mr. Tocchini.
Approved.
And I approve. Motion carries in the unanimous. All
right. Thank you.
Okay. 17 Fielding Drive.
7 Fielding.
7 Fielding Drive, 25 IDC 20. 7 Fielding Drive, Uncasville, Connecticut, owner applicant Glenn B. Johnson for regular activities in the upland review area in conjunction with installation of a swim spa.
Stacy Radford, zoning wetlands officer, for the record. This application is for regulated activities within the upland review area in conjunction with the installation of a swim spa and the construction of a deck. Property is located on 0.51 acres in the R40 zoning district with approximately 131 feet of frontage onto Fielding Drive. The site is currently developed with a single-family residence. The applicant is requesting to install an 18 by 10 swim spa and a deck surrounding the swim spa and connecting to the existing single-family residence within the 50-foot upland review area as shown on the revised site plan. The applicant indicates the installation would require some leveling of his yard, and this will include excavating approximately 24 inches on the side farthest from the house and 6 inches on the side closest to the house. The applicant states that the deck will be constructed of 4x4 pressure treated posts on footers with composite decking. Railings will be installed around the deck where necessary, and stairs with railings will be installed on either side of the deck pursuant to the revised site plan. In 2002, the prior owners of this property applied for and were approved for a wetlands permit for the construction of a 16 by 20 screened porch to the rear of the existing family residence. This proposed installation of the swim spa and construction of the deck would not be any closer to the wetlands than the edge of the house and screened porch, which were previously approved by this commission. Attached to the staff report is an aerial photo for a better visual of the wetlands as they currently run through the property. Primarily, it runs down through the wooded areas to the side of the house to a culvert, which goes underneath Fielding Drive out along Raymond Hill Road. And Mr. Johnson is here to present the application himself.
Hello, good evening. My name is Glenn Johnson.
Yep. I
seem to be missing that staff report.
What was that?
I seem to be missing that staff. Oh, here it is. I found it. Sorry. Sorry for the delay.
So in the aerial photo, these are the boulders indicated.
Yeah. They're huge. Yep.
Yeah.
And do you have a picture of that little map that I drew?
Yeah.
Cool. In there?
It's the last page. Yep.
Is that this one? I think so. Yeah, that's it.
It says revised.
Yep.
Yeah, because I zoomed in to, like, where the boulders are, where the deck is, or the proposed deck, rather. Yeah, so like even this that big boulder to the left, it's probably 10 feet high, too.
So the hot tub is there, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
You can see it in the aerial photo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the.
So the if you're looking at the drawing where I had the word house written out, you see a little doorway to the right. So I'd walk out of the doorway, step onto the deck there, turn left, you know, where the hot tub is on the right. Then I put in a couple of steps up onto the next level. And then that big rectangular area where the swim spa would go, that would all be one level. But before the deck gets constructed, the swim spa would have to get brought in. And it's like one unit. So it doesn't have a drain. It's kind of like a one-unit thing that you put on the ground. And in order to level that area for that to sit on the ground, that's where I put it. You'd have to dig out a couple feet down on the far side and probably another 6 inches on the side closest to the house in order to get that area level.
Now, are you going to put any erosion or silt fence along to keep any dirt from going into the stream?
I don't think that anything, because it's so much higher than the stream now, there's no water that goes from, like, the back end of the house is sloped. It's like it's sloping straight down towards the house, and the stream is over to the left side. So any water coming down, we really don't have much water coming down towards the house, because everything is.
The slope is from, is in this picture, the slope is downward.
So
the aerial photo, the slope, the water drains that direction?
Nope. It drains from.
My question is,
this is really high here,
yeah,
and it all slopes down towards the house, but there's no water really comes down here. It all comes down the stream.
The question is, if there's a pile of dirt here and it rains, where's the dirt going to go? Are you going to put anything to keep it out of the stream?
I could if I needed to, but there's never any water that comes down through here. This is always dry. Because it's this over this part of the ground here is sloped down towards the brook. So anything, if it were to come down here, goes into the brook long before any water hits here. There is a slope here going from the edge of the house towards the brook, but it's dry here because all the water comes here, flows this way. We never have any water flowing.
If there's a thunderstorm or something while this is all exposed.
Oh, during, well, that's
while
being
you're,
done?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah, because.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean a permanent fence. I meant the silt fence is this fabric barrier.
Oh, yeah, you can put the silt fence in there while they're constructing
yeah.
it. It just it wouldn't be needed afterward.
Right.
Okay.
True.
I'm not familiar with what a swim spa is, but I'm wondering if there's a hot. So is it like a pool?
This is what my wife has provided
uh-huh.
with me.
And so it's one of these little, it's a swim spa that has a built-in current.
Resistance.
It's kind of like a treadmill for swimming.
They're cool, okay. But yeah. It will have chlorinated water in it, I suspect, or treated water.
Well, it'll be like hot tub water. So I think you can do some of those things that are like, you don't have to have chemicals because you'd rather not have the chemicals in it. You could do either. I think you can do like bromine or chlorine, I guess.
I guess what I'm driving at is, I'm not a pool owner, but you're really close to a stream. I don't know if pool owners release their pool water at a certain point in the year, just into the yard.
Oh.
Is it all of your treated water?
No, actually, the salesman from this place sent me a message. He said to tell you that there is no drain in it, so it doesn't get drained out. If I was going to, you just like keep it treated.
What about in the winter? You're going to look.
It's heated.
With a cover?
Well, I guess my question is, what about the filter? When you had to back flush the filter, where does it go?
I'm sorry?
There's a filter on the water, right? So if leaves or dirt and pollen get in it, you got to filter it out. What happens to the water when you filter it?
Well, doesn't it just recycle in there?
Well, you still have to clean the filter. You have to backwash the filter if it's a sand filter. So the question is, what kind of filter is it?
So it's like a hot tub.
Huh?
It's like a hot tub. Probably doesn't have one.
It is very similar to a hot tub.
It's more
so
like
a built-in filter, something that he can remove out.
Yeah.
That's the question. I think that's the question that she's driving at and I'm driving at.
Right.
You don't have a sand filter that gets back flushed.
No, it'd be like a filter like you have in the
cartridge.
Hot tub.
Yeah. That's what mine is.
The concern is just
sand filter.
Treated water going into the stream because it is so very close.
Oh.
And
yeah, that we wouldn't be doing. And that's probably why he told me to say that there's no drain in it because you don't drain it out.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be drained into the stream.
The only perhaps chance would be overtopping, which sounds crazy, but it could, if in a big rain event, overtop.
It has a cover on it.
Oh,
with a
yes,
oh,
and the
okay.
cover.
Very similar to a hot tub. So it will be
I don't
covered.
Have a hot tub or a pool.
So
this
it's
world.
Very similar
okay.
to a hot tub. It has a cover that actually goes over it
okay.
and contains it. So
in a big rain, you wouldn't let it fill up with rain. You'd put the cover on.
Right.
The cover sits on it at all times.
Gotcha.
And it also has this fancy, what's classified as a horizontal fence over the top of it. So it has the cover, so it has this fence on it and the cover on top.
Okay. You want to take a look at this place? Can we pretty much see it from the road or not?
No, you can't see any of it because it's completely in the back of the house.
You want to try and go there after the other one?
Are they all close to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, not far from your other two.
Oh, we'll have a big day of it, okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be long on Galvin Lane because it's a big parking lot.
Yeah.
See everything
true.
Real quick and then go from Galvin south to Fielding and you're done.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So can I get a motion to do a site walk? Are you going to be home on September 17th?
September 17th. At what time?
Like
6:30? Well, sooner the better, just because we go to church on Wednesday nights, and we want to be there by 6:30 in Groton. So if it's closer to 6, that would be good.
We could go
earlier the better.
Could we go there second? Shift it up.
I would suggest that you make this one first because the other two are within a half a mile of each other.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, then I'll ask for a motion to set a site walk at 7 Fielding Drive at 6 o'clock on...
Or is that 5:30?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm just confused.
Hold on,
said
one second.
The other two
we've
are
got one. It's scheduled at 6, and I was going to make the motion to say to change it. The other one,
set it and change it. Right.
So the first one on Glen Road is set for 5:30. Then we're doing literally right down the road. They're both off of Galvin.
So you're saying those two should be paired together, and this one's either first or last.
Correct. So we either start at
5 o'clock.
We'll
make this one at 6:15.
Well, that's what he's saying.
We'll get there. We'll probably get there sooner is what we're saying. Or how about we say 5?
I would do this one first at 5. My suggestion.
Should we do 5:15 for worker people? I have to, yeah.
Yeah, can you make it or not?
I will do my best.
That'll be
yeah.
fine.
Great.
Okay, then I'll ask for a site walk for Seven Fielding Drive at 5:15 on September 17th.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Mr. LeClaire?
Approved.
Mr. Rostow?
Approved.
Mr. Occhialini?
Approved.
And I approve. Motion carries unanimously. All right. We will see you. Okay, correspondence. This is...
So for correspondence, I had the invitation that was received from Avalonia for the grand opening of the preserve in Basra that I emailed to everybody. It was on August the 9th. So I was just... I emailed it out to the commission.
Did anybody go? I was out of town.
I did not go.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to see that place.
It's a.
Is it open now? Can anybody just go and
yeah.
wander around?
There's parking.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the South Road.
For what it's worth, I did go, and it's a very nice area to hike, and I highly recommend it.
All right.
It's actually located on South Road. Approximately 1 mile from Route 163.
Is it like a sign up?
Yep, you park in the lot on South Road across from 102 South Road. So if you were to...
If you're going towards Norwich on South Road, it's on the right. And if you pass Roy Road, you went too far.
Exactly. Yep.
So if someone says get lost, that's the way to go? Okay, other business. 69 Fitch Hill Road?
Yes. So this was a previously approved application, and the applicant's engineer, Ellen Bartlett of Greensite Design LLC, contacted me. She indicated that the original approval of this commission was for a temporary disturbance of the upland review area for the installation of required basins on the property. Once construction in the field occurred, the locations of both of the basins shifted slightly, and they are now within the upland review area. Bob Russo is here tonight, and he has inspected these basins and confirms that they're both operating as they should. Myself and assistant planner Meredith Badaluca conducted a site inspection of the area around both basins, and it's completely stable. The applicant's engineer feels that the relocation of these basins to the previously approved location will cause unnecessary disruption in the upland review area, and she's asking that I find out from the commission if you want her to complete an application to modify the original.
How did they shift? They just did it wrong?
Bob can explain.
For the record, Bob Russo, soil scientist from CLA Engineers. In the most straightforward terms, yes, they did it wrong. They were not operating from the most current set of plans like they were supposed to be, and they put the basins in the wrong locations.
If you look at the plan I gave you, the...
Yeah,
it's the last thing in your packet. There are two areas that are highlighted in red. Underneath that is the black area where they were supposed to be. The red is where they were constructed.
I think they just had to give us a modified plan, and then we approved the modification. That, this happened before. In the past, they just give us a...
Understood, Chairman Brush, and just, I'm speaking on behalf of Ellen Bartlett, but she wanted to know how you wanted to proceed, if it was something that your staff could administratively approve, if the commission wants to approve it as a whole. whatever the commission desires, we're happy to do, and we can provide an as-built plan if you want that shows where they are, which is actually what you have in front of you.
Right. And I think that's what the procedure is. You give us a modified plan. It's been so long since one's been done, but that's all. You come and say, well, this is what the original plan was. This is actually what happened. And ask for you submit as an, and we don't have to wait the 2 weeks or anything like that, two weeks or whatever it is, or anything like that. We can just approve it that night. It just has to come before so it gets filed.
Okay, so we'll file an application for your next meeting then.
File a modification of
modification.
The existing
correct.
Application.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Really, it's really basically nothing more than planning.
Thank you.
And say, don't let it happen again. All right, need one more motion.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming, especially Commissioner Rashto, for sitting there and listening to this without being able to see them.
Oh, no, I've got everything on the phone. I've been following along actively.
I always have trouble staying.